Well, good morning. Bishop Todd and Ryan and Rob and Jeremy are in Comox this morning. Todd asked me to just keep my phone handy in case he wanted to call, that I would be available. We are continuing our series at looking at the Gospel of John from the perspective of how do we see the Father in the actions and words of Jesus. And we are trying to understand, what does it mean to relate to God as our Father? And how does that then change our relationships as a family? And how does that impact how we walk and live? And so I want to look at John chapter 2 and the wedding in Cana. And it begins this way. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus was also invited to the wedding with his disciples. So I love the start, because I tend to think about Jesus' life as this sort of unique, separated journey of speaking, miracles, disciple chats. And it's sort of encased in some kind of holy aura. He just sort of hovers around and does these amazing things. But John makes it really clear that Jesus is part of ordinary life. He gets invited to weddings. He knows these people. He's back in his home area. His mother's there, and family and friends, and he's together to celebrate this wedding. It's part of ordinary life. That's the life. That's part of what Jesus did while he was here. And a typical Jewish wedding was a week-long event. It would start with the groom's friends going to the bride's house and collecting her and bringing her to the groom's house. And a week of festivities would follow. And people would celebrate, and there would be music and joy. And it would be a marvelous celebration. And weddings are like that. This coming together of two families, great optimism and dreams about future for a couple that's coming together. So it fits well with the things that we've been talking about. Part of the good things that Wanda and I have been able to do recently in our journey here has been to do some premarital work with couples that are getting married. And when we went through premarital stuff 30 plus years ago, it was very content focused. Let's talk about budgeting. Let's talk about communication. Let's talk about in-laws, those kinds of things. And so we could have started that way as well, and we probably did in some ways, but we discovered that one of the marvelous things about weddings is that they reveal the soundtrack to our lives. And by that I mean they reveal what's going on in our hearts. Because although weddings start out with all this potential and joy and anticipation, they can really go horribly wrong really easily, can't they? All of a sudden, you had all this plan, and then suddenly Aunt Susie comes from out of town, and everything takes a sharp left, and how do we bring it back on track? And there's all these dynamics and things going on. And so in that transition, in that process of planning and walking into a wedding, it's this beautiful time of people's hearts being exposed. It's sort of like the soundtrack to a movie. That when you watch a movie, there's always music in the background. Sometimes you notice it, sometimes you don't. But it really helps to set the context and explain what's going on in that movie. And so if they move to a scene where two people are just talking in the restaurant, it's the music that tells you whether this is a good time to slip away to the bathroom or whether you should stay put in your seat because something grave and of great importance is going to happen in this scene. It's the music that gives you that cue, because the music shifts and you understand, oh, now something big is about to happen. I better stay. And it's the same for us. It's our hearts that are the foundation for our actions. It's in our hearts where those things come from. Our hearts are like the soundtrack. There's music in our hearts. And it keeps playing, and we move that through. Maybe an example is helpful. when a couple comes to us, they're excited. They're so excited because they've discovered, against all odds, that the music in their heart is almost identical to the music in this other person's heart. And so when the music comes together, it's going to be so amazing. And they've discovered that as they've agreed to marriage, that they know the music. The music in their hearts is now going to come out in the wedding. And it's going to be this glorious celebration. And the wedding is going to have this beautiful music. And it's going to be light and joyful. It's going to be Paris in the spring with flowers and an orchestra and beautiful music and wine and dancing. And they just can't wait to share it with all their family and friends. But inevitably, early in the journey, someone with a different soundtrack comes along. Often it's a parent of the couple. And they come with their own music. And they say, "We're really happy that you're all joyful and excited, but shouldn't we have a bit more of a dignified tone? Marriage is very serious. It's a lifelong commitment, you know. It takes a lot of work. It's not easy." And suddenly the music has changed. And it's solemn, and Wanda said, "Really more funeral-like." Because the soundtrack of that person's heart has fear in it. And they're not so sure about whether Corey's a good guy or not. We don't really know this guy, and what's he like? And so their soundtrack now changes the tone. And as we move through that process, we talk with people about what's going on in their hearts. Where did you learn that tune? Why does it play that way for you? And what does it mean for you? But often, about a month out, we maybe have one or two sessions left with this couple. Suddenly there's all kinds of different music. And it's more like this. Because someone has understood with great anxiety, we've only got 3 more weeks. And there is 200 people coming. And what are we going to do? And he said he was going to take care of all these things, but he's only done one. And so now this is the soundtrack. And it's very anxious, and it drives you crazy really quickly. And the soundtrack of the people around us influences our soundtrack. And so the person who's now buzzing around in great anxiety trying to get this all together, their soundtrack influences the others. And suddenly, what started off with great lightness and hope and easy and relaxed becomes a bit more ominous. And the person says, "I'm still definitely going to be there, but I'm a little scared. I'm not so sure. Are we sure we want to do this right now?" It's the soundtrack of our lives. What do you think was the soundtrack in this wedding in Cana? It says in verse 3, "When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.' And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come.'" What's the music that plays with this scene? We might be tempted to say, well, it's that bumblebee song. It's that really anxious one that Mary's just a guest, but when she arrived, she realized somebody does not know what they're doing here. This thing is not going to come off if I don't get involved. And she's been buzzing around the whole time. And she did a quick head count, and she looked at how many bottles of wine there were, and said, "There's no way that's going to work. There's a whole week party coming up here. It's never going to happen." And so she's in high solution, task focused. I got to get stuff done. And so that's the music. We might imagine that Mary comes to Jesus in that kind of a state. That's the soundtrack that's playing in her heart. And when we hear Jesus' response, what does this have to do with me? We might be tempted to say that the music in Jesus' heart is a bit more anti-establishment. He's stepping away from his parents. He's listening to more indie music these days. And he's saying to his mother, like, excuse me, this isn't how this works. You don't get to tell me and talk to me in front of all these people about what I should do or shouldn't do. This is none of my business. This is none of my concern. I'm just an invited guest. Why are you running around here like a crazy person? Don't pull me into your panic. I don't want to be noticed yet. I'm going to do my first miracle, but I'm not going to do it in this big public place, all these people around. What if I get it wrong? And it's still water. But that's not the right music for this scene. Because Jesus is not being disrespectful when he refers to his mother as woman. And his answer, what does this have to do with me? What he's really saying is he wants to make something really clear to Mary and John, to us, that what Jesus is saying is that the soundtrack of his heart only hears the Father's song. There's a constant theme in the Gospel of John that Jesus is repeatedly saying, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only speak the words of my Father. And that's what he's saying to Mary. He's saying, Mary, so you've laid out a situation and a problem for me, but you need to understand that the music in my heart doesn't change because of your music. I only listen to what the Father is saying. I only hear the Father's song. He says, my hour has not yet come. And in the Gospel of John, whenever Jesus says that, he's referring to the end of his journey on earth, his death and his resurrection. And so partly he's saying, Mary, you need to understand that the soundtrack of my heart is the Father's, and the Father has me here for this grand purpose. It's moving toward the cross. That, and it's only those things that I hear. His heart is in tune with the song of his Father. And so when we hear and talk about the God the Father as the one who's in charge of everything, who's all powerful, who's working out this grand global plan of salvation, there's a tendency in our own lives, I think, to say, I guess we're going to go with water and not wine. Because the Father ends up being so distant and so grand and so big that it's like, how does it ever get into my life? But if we're right in saying that Jesus is saying to Mary, I'm only hear the soundtrack of heaven, then what he does next is what heaven wants to do. It is what the Father wants to do. John says this, now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good until now. This, the first of his signs, Jesus did in Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory. What this story shows me is that the glorious plan of the Father, this marvelous, global, completely redemption of all of his creation, dealing with all of sin, great planning, all this huge, majestic work of the Father includes weddings in Cana. that the Father has determined and is intent on carrying out his plan and revealing who he is, not only in this grand, beautiful, all-encompassing picture, but in the specific, concrete, small details of your life. That's how he works. That his grand plan is interwoven with your specific journey. That it's not two separate things. And that when I think about God as in control of everything, it's like, well, then how will I ever get his attention? Or how, and I've got to go through all kinds of contortions. The only way I could do it is to do what Mary did and sort of shame him into it in public. No. Jesus says, I only do what my Father does. And what my Father does is amazing. That how my Father works is he works behind the scenes with the servants. That the groom and the master of the feast never understand or realize what's going on behind the scenes. They just realize we've got more wine than we ever thought we needed, and it's great wine. Because the Father's work in our ordinary stories may not be so obvious at first. It may be more hidden. It comes in unexpected ways. We might have to slow down and be quiet long enough to notice that that's the Father's hand in my life. That he sees the particular details and his response is extravagant. It's six stone water jars of wine. It's not, and it's great wine. It's not quick run down to the corner and buy the cheapest stuff you can get. We need about 10 more bottles. The Father is extravagant. And as he moves this grand plan of salvation forward, our lives are part of that plan. They're not two separate things. They're one thing. This is the kind of Father we have. So I love Mary's response. And she turns to the servants and says, do whatever he tells you. She's not trapping Jesus now into having to do something. What it reflects is someone that in Mary's heart, she has received part of the Father's song. She understands the music of heaven. It's the same thing she understood 31 years earlier when the angel came and said, you will have a child. And she said, may it be unto me according to your word. That she understood that she had received in her heart the song of heaven. And that the song in her heart was in tune with heaven's. And so there wasn't anxiousness and fear and the need to manipulate and somehow convince Jesus of something. The picture for me of Mary is one of trustful, confident engagement. And that she sees a problem and she can bring that to the Father at any point. That how big, how small, it doesn't matter. She can just lay it out before him exactly in a raw state. Without any anxiety or pressure or feeling like she's got to fix it, she can just bring that to her Father. And having brought that to the Father, she can turn away and engage completely in the wedding and sort of leave that behind and say, I hear her more saying, right, I'm out. I don't need to have to be involved in this anymore. The Father, she is in that kind of a trustful state. This is what happens when we encounter the Father. That the music in our hearts begins to take on the soundtrack of heaven. And our hearts begin to move in peace and freedom. We can engage in the present without fretting about the past or being anxious about the future. We can give freely to others. It's a different song in our heart. the soundtrack for us has changed. And when we start to hear the music of heaven, when we start to receive it in our hearts, our actions follow. And we start to move in ways that are markedly different than they used to be. Don't do this to me. We don't necessarily like the soundtrack in our hearts. It's sometimes hard to hear. And when we do hear it, it's not what we'd wish. For many, many years, this was the soundtrack in my heart.
When I was younger, I believed the dreams came true. Now I wonder.
Exactly. My heart was consistently mournful, pessimistic. It was that sound, it was that song that played in my heart. That everything that came my way had to somehow dance to that music. Because it was the soundtrack of my heart. And it wasn't giving up. It was just sort of resigned and, I wonder. So what's the music in your heart this morning? What's been the music in your heart all of this week? Some of you might say, well, I have no idea. And that's because the music of our heart is quiet. And when it's that kind of song I had, it gets a bit tiresome after a while. And so I create other noise to drown it out. Because I'm tired of wondering. And so I create other noise and I turn up the volume on other things. So that I don't have to hear that song of my heart, and I'll disguise it with other things. I'll make something else speak more loudly than my heart. And so, if you can't identify the song, that's the first step, is you must pay attention to what is in your heart. You must be able to hear the soundtrack of your life. You must pay attention to it, and that will take some quiet. It will take turning off some things and building in some quiet so that you might hear it. And so you might come to vigil. And for the first weeks, you might never hear the Father. You might only be quiet long enough so that you could begin to hear your own heart. This would be a good step. This would be a good thing. And that once you can hear your heart and you can say, yeah, I think that is the consistent song that my heart sings. I think the next step is that you would bring it to the Father. Because if we're ever going to see a new song in our heart, it is directly tied to our understanding and revelation of the Father. That if we're going to receive the song of heaven, we must see Him. And we must understand Him. And the first step in that is that we would bring Him the state of our heart, the song that it's singing, and say, Father, this is it. That's all I got today. And that we would just present it to Him. Too many of us are rummaging around in some cabinet looking for the right CD. so that we can put it in our hearts before we come to the Father. And what the Father wants is that we would bring him the song that's there right now. In all of its cacophony of noise. Because the revelation of the Father comes in relationship. He wants to be in your life. He wants to come to your wedding. He wants to come to the need in your wedding. And bring the wine of his salvation to your life. This is not a simple journey. And it's not a journey of simply saying more loudly and consistently, I only listen to worship music. That somehow I'm going to drown out my heart by just sitting at the front and getting not only the speaker sound, but the stage volume as well. We don't drown out our hearts. We allow the Father to speak to them. And that we might start to be filled with the music of heaven. And so we come then to the table. And at the table we have these two tunes or themes that is in the music of heaven. We have the cross, which is the center point of the grand, marvelous plan and work of the Father. That he has worked since the beginning of creation. Everything that he did moved towards the cross. And since the cross, everything that he continues to do is based on the cross. And so it is the grand, beautiful picture of what the Father is doing. But we also come to this table to receive into our very bodies, into our very lives, the wine of heaven, the song of heaven. And that we might start to see our hearts sing increasingly with the tune of heaven. That we would first hear the music of heaven and that we would begin to take it in. And that we might find ourselves in the middle of a confrontation with our boss, a disagreement with our spouse, hearing the song of heaven rather than that other one. But we must come to the Father. And we must receive from him and hear his song. And allow him to play it over us again and again and again. All who truly turn to Christ and repent of your sins and seek to be reconciled to your neighbors and intend to lead the new life following the commandments of God and walking in his holy ways, draw near with faith. Take this holy sacrament to strengthen, comfort, and nourish you. And make your humble confession to your Heavenly Father. So your confession this morning might simply be, I didn't know my heart had a song. Or you might say to the Father, this is the only tune I've heard this week. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter if the label on it says explicit lyrics. You could bring it to him. Do that. Come to your Father. Let us pray the prayer of general confession together. Merciful Father, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Forgive us where the cares of this world have become our cares, where we have succumbed to the love of things, where we have used our minds, bodies, and words in impure ways. Forgive us where we have given way to discouragement and despair, self-pity, false comforts, harmful addictions, and selfishness. Forgive us where we have neglected your two great commands, where we have not loved you with our whole heart and not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways by the power of your Spirit, to the glory of your name. Amen. Then hear the first notes of the song that the Father would sing over you. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who with heartfelt repentance and true faith turn to him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us stand and praise him.